Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. So glad you have chosen to be here for more teaching from God's Word. You won't regret it. Today, our lesson is a continuation of last week's lesson. The topic is one we all deal with: temptation. Last week, we spent time understanding temptation, and now this week, we will learn about overcoming it. There is nothing wrong with temptation, but if we give in to temptation and sin, that is a problem. Hebrews tells us Jesus was tempted, just like we are, yet he never sinned. This is our goal, and Lord willing, today we will be more like Jesus through this teaching. Turn to James 1. And Bible teacher J. Mark will give us three actions to overcome temptation.
In our previous study, we looked at James chapter 1 and verses 12 to 16. And from those verses, we discussed the subject of understanding temptation. We learned that while God has a design for our temptations, He is not the source of our temptations. Our temptations come from our desires. And Satan delights in exploiting our desires to drive a wedge between us and our Heavenly Father. Satan uses our desires, our appetites, to bring us into bondage, and then he accuses us to the Father because of our failures. But you know, understanding temptation by itself won't bring us victory. We need to know how to overcome temptation. And that's the focus of our time in the Word today: overcoming temptation. We learn how to do that from James chapter 1, verses 17 to 21. So listen as I read that portion of Scripture. Every good and perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. In this text, James reveals several actions you and I can take in our battle to overcome temptation. The first action for us is accept the incarnate word. James laid out the progression of temptation in the verses just before our text. The seed of an idea is planted in our mind by our desire, and if that seed is not immediately removed, it sprouts and it grows roots. So we're making plans. And then finally, we act out our thoughts and plans. And James shows us that in ourselves, we are incapable of making the right choice. But I praise God he hasn't left us in that hopeless condition. He assures us that just as evil has its roots in uncontrolled desire, good has its roots in God, our Heavenly Father. James explains that our temptation to evil can't come from God because he is the Father of lights. He is the creator of light. He is light. There is no trace of darkness, not even a shadow in him. Now look at the contrast. Man follows his desires to sin, death, and destruction, while God follows his desires for light, life, and eternal reward. Remember, God spoke into the pre-creation darkness, bringing light and life, and he spoke into the unbridgeable chasm between his holiness and our sinfulness through the incarnate word, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, come to us. So James points out that by an act of God's will, his own initiative, he begat us with the word of truth. The word begat means to bring forth, to sire or produce. And how did he do that? Through the word of truth, the Logos, the living word, that's Jesus Christ himself. Jesus came to earth to bear witness to the truth, John 18:37. And as the Logos, the living word, he was and is the truth in person. And why did our Heavenly Father send Jesus to us? Well, look at verse 18, that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creation. What's the significance of the first fruits? Well, in the law of Moses, the offering of the first fruits was given at the beginning of the barley harvest, and it represented the entire harvest that was yet to come. Now, we don't have time today to examine this closely, but we can make this observation. Surrendering our will to God's will and believing in Jesus Christ for salvation is like an offering of first fruits. It's a token of the fruitfulness that will grow from our lives because Christ controls our thoughts, our words, and our actions. The divine nature has been planted in us, and that nature will bring forth fruit. You know, this is our only hope of overcoming temptation, because no amount of willpower will ever give us the victory. There are multitudes of religious people today who are trying to be good. They're trying to exercise willpower so that God will accept them. But I must tell you, that will not work. The only lasting solution to our sin problem is to accept the incarnate Word, Jesus, as the only way to the Father. And when we permit Him to deal with our sin at its root, that is, our sinful nature, then His power becomes ours to overcome temptation. So then, the first action you and I must take to overcome temptation is to accept the incarnate Word. There's another action we need to take: reject the intemperate Word. Later on in this letter, James spends a whole chapter dealing with our speech. Here he mentions it just briefly in the context of overcoming temptation. So let's take a closer look. Because God is the source of all light, because He is the giver of all good gifts, because He is unchanging, because He brought us into His family through the sacrifice of His Son, because He wants His adopted ones, that's you and me, to bear the fruit of His nature in us, because of all these things, He wants us to reject the intemperate Word, the uncontrolled Word, the Word that injures people. And the only way to do that is to follow the prescription that He lays out here in these verses. First of all, James said, we need to be quick to hear. The Greek word hear means more than hearing a sound. It means to understand with a view to obedience. Next, he says we should be hesitant to speak. I don't know about you, but too often I get those turned around. I'm slow to hear and quick to speak. James says, we need to learn to listen carefully before speaking if there's any hope of us overcoming temptation. Because if we ignore this sequence, what likely will happen? Just what James says, an explosion of anger. In my experience, anger often expresses itself in harsh and hurtful words. When our expectations are unmet, or maybe our pride is offended, or someone else gets credit for what we've done, we often respond angrily. Those harsh words set in motion a reaction from other people, and our relationships are damaged. And our relationship with God is affected too. In verse 20, James explains why we should reject the intemperate Word. Unrestrained passions that are often expressed in angry words do not accomplish the righteousness of God. You see, God desires to bring men and women into a right relationship with Him, but also into a right relationship with each other. And angry, condemning words can potentially drive people farther away from God and farther from each other. So the only way to overcome the temptation to angry speech is to, by God's grace, listen carefully and speak only after we've evaluated what we're about to say. I have often discovered that I haven't gathered all the facts when I get angry. I haven't taken the time to listen carefully and then consider the impact of my words. Why is it so important that we learn to reject the intemperate Word? Because our speech is simply a window into our soul. And if our speech is uncontrolled, you can be sure there are more serious areas of life that lack control. In fact, James points this out in the final verse of our text. And that brings us to the final action in our quest for overcoming temptation. That final action is receive the implanted Word. Just a moment ago, I said if our speech is uncontrolled, you can be sure there are more serious areas of life that lack control also. So notice now verse 21. James admonishes us to put away all filthiness. In the Bible, filthiness is in the context of moral impurity. Angry people are often immoral people. Why is that? because they are unable or unwilling to exercise self-control. So the first thing James says we're to put away is moral impurity. And then he says the overflow of wickedness. This phrase refers to the source of moral impurity. An overflow is an abundance, and wickedness refers to our depravity, that's our sinful nature. So we could paraphrase the first part of the verse like this. So then, my dearly beloved brothers, cast aside every form of moral impurity and the overflowing depravity that it springs from. You see, even after we have accepted the incarnate word, there is still a raging battle between the spirit and the soul. James addresses that conflict in the last part of this verse. He says we are to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. He doesn't say it will save your spirit. That has already been redeemed because you have accepted Jesus Christ, the incarnate word, as Savior and Lord. But now your soul must be redeemed. Your mind, your will, and your emotions must come under the control of God. Your daily practices must be brought into line with your position in Christ. And James tells us how to do that. He says, receive with meekness the implanted word. Now remember, back in verses 19 and 20, James speaks of angry words and uncontrolled passions. Here he speaks of humility and strength under control. We are to accept with meekness and humility the implanted word. The implanted word is Christ, the one who has come to live in our hearts by faith, the one who wants to conform us to his image in every way. But I believe there's another aspect of this implanted word. We have a responsibility to implant the words of God, the Bible, Holy Scripture, into our minds and hearts. And Jesus is our example. What did he use to overcome his temptation? He used specific portions that dealt with the point of temptation. You and I must be able to do that too. But if we're not implanting the Word of God in our minds and receiving it and applying it with humility, we will not be able to successfully overcome temptation. This is the secret to overcoming temptation, to bring our mind, will, and emotions under the control of the Spirit of God who lives within us. Our spirit is reborn when we accept the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ. When by His grace and the spiritual power He gives, we reject the intemperate Word, we know He is at work in us. And finally, when we receive the implanted Word with humility, we overcome temptation, even as our mind, will, and emotions are being transformed. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Did you catch the secret to overcoming temptation? Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing this teaching with us. Here is what we need to do to overcome temptation. I repeat, we must bring our mind, will, and emotions under the control of the Spirit of God who lives in us. This is where the power lies, yielding ourselves to Him. We must continue to surrender. We must die daily. This truth is taught all throughout the Bible in many different places. Thanks, J. Mark, for your encouragement, and thank you for listening to Hope for Today. If you have any questions, or if you would like to hear more teaching from Heralds of Hope, here is how you can reach us. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. And of course, you can write to us. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA 15533. We would love to hear from you. Please contact us however it is easiest for you. At the beginning, I referenced the verse from Hebrews 4. Here is that verse. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. May this verse fill you with courage to overcome temptation and live like Jesus.